The Open Book on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning. If you're listening to us live right now, this Thursday morning on cliffcentral.com, this is The Open Book, and a warm welcome to every single one of you. Well, yeah, it's a new week. It's so weird, you know, because it's so cold outside, but yet we just find the time to just do so many things. So as much as I was here last week, it kind of really feels like I was here, what, like 2-3 weeks ago. But yeah, we're back, and so good to be with you. This is a beautiful day indeed, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As a dig lad in it. Well, today I'm not alone. I've got a special guest in studio who's quickly on the rise, actually. She's very, very talented as a presenter. She's a presenter on a friend of mine's radio station. You know, this one obviously has Gareth Cliff attached to it. And there's a new one that's just started by a friend of mine called Keith Ngesi down in the Eastern Cape called KNR. And so Shalom Kandanisa, she's a presenter on there. But I've known Shalom, you know, like for way longer than that. A young lady, but yet with like an old soul. Do we still say things like that?
That's classic. You know?
Shalom, welcome to Jovan.
Thank you. Very good morning to you, Butloyiso, and to the cliffcentral.com team. Please get used to the Butloyiso thing. It's really just
she has
just to get
because
used
we're
to
from
it.
The Eastern Cape, and because I'm way older than her, so that's
yeah.
Just
so I can't get rid of it.
I ain't complaining. I'm not complaining at all. So I mean, Shalom, yeah. So tell us a little about yourself, and yeah, where you're from, and what you're about.
Okay, well, first I just want to say thanks for having me here. It's awesome. It's an awesome blessing. My name is Shalom Kandanisa. I always say word is my voice, strength is my choice, grace is my beauty, and serving is my duty.
Amen.
So basically, it's all about being a God brand and really just building a door for that opportunity. So I'm back in Joburg. I'm from East London, born and bred in East London. I was a Clarendon Girls only school, and then I studied at NMMU in Port Elizabeth.
Yep.
I'm a public relations practitioner by qualification, and I really just filtered through into the media world. And I've come to realize that really my God-given mandate is a media mountain mandate. We're really just taking Jesus to the world, as your song would say. So I'm here knocking on doors for some opportunities, but really just seeing what it is that God wants me to do at such a time as this, as a young person, and really just doing something for the glory of God, and just putting it out there and filtering through those platforms that other people are perhaps afraid of stepping into, but making it a point that we don't lose my or our identity as you do that. Today we're speaking about identity.
We're going to speak about identity just now.
Yeah.
So tell us about your journey in media. I know that you also like, you know, you also like into PR and stuff as well.
Yes.
Like, as much as you do all the stuff on the side, kind of like me.
Actually, so I'm into PR and some marketing and a bit of communication. Did a bit of that for 2 years in Port Elizabeth, and then I was headhunted by a Christian radio station in East London, which is Link FM. I worked for them for 2 years. And throughout that, from about the age of 14, I really started doing some public speaking, a bit of program directing, guest speaking, motivational speaking. And it really just, it grew. It grew into radio. It grew into doing voiceovers. Highlight of my journey so far is when I was part of the top billing presenter search.
Yes.
And that was in 2012. That was awesome. I was in the top 5 in the Eastern Cape. They made it to the top 100 in the country, went to Cape Town, and really just got a foretaste of what it is to be in front of the camera for television. But not just doing that, but sharing who you are with the rest of the world. Didn't make it to the top 10, but it is one opportunity that I will never forget.
And that's what it's about. You know, the thing is, you obviously know the vision that God has put into your heart and what it is. But some of the times, you know, God gives us the absolute outcome, but we never really quite know we never really kind of see the entire journey. So who knows whether your journey is going to be, you know, 5 years till you reach that place where the vision becomes a reality.
Yes.
And I guess it's good, you know, like one has got to go and find that out for themselves.
Exactly.
Just yesterday, actually, it was the last day for Sia Sangweni Finn here at Cliff Central, you know, who was Cliff was helping out Rina who's sort of like the station manager, and okay. also Gareth as well, and also a young man, I think 22 years old, and he's gone to really find that thing which he believes, you know, God has put into his heart. So I'm all for just go for it. You know, if you want to take a gap year and you can't afford to go overseas, or someone can sponsor you to do that, just do it, man. Because trust you me, once you have kids. And once you're married, once you're married and you have kids, you know, things can change a bit. Yeah. So what do you still hope to achieve in your life?
Well, the first part of our journey really was to get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Getting out of the routine and doing things in a monotonous way. So I'm here in Joburg, and really what I want to do is I want to grow more when it comes to the media industry.
Yeah.
I want to be a bit behind the scenes in a way where you can really just get the gist of really what happens, and preparation as well, and getting to find yourself and not just seek for stardom, but seek for that knowledge and really just growing within this industry before I can actually be in the forefront.
Yeah.
I think I've had a bit of a foretaste, no matter how small it is, but it's really been of quality and quantity. Enough for me to know that, okay, I still need more. You can never have enough, you know. If you want to sit on certain platforms, there's just so much more that you need to learn. But eventually making it a point that you're building your self-brand and your identity before you develop that media identity, if I could put it that way. Because once you're out there, people see you as this Shalom in the spotlight. But really, you first need to see yourself as Shalom or Loyiso, as who or she is first behind closed doors, as so that people can see a different type of person when they see you within the spotlight. And at the same time, you're still carrying that Jesus brand that I always put it out there and call it, for as long as it's a mandate and it's of purpose.
That's good. That's really good. Really inspiring. Well, today Shalom and I are going to have a chat about identity, as we said earlier, on what it means, or rather what it should mean to the children of God. And just also maybe some of the times we just get it wrong. We don't really quite know what this is. And then after that, I've got an interview that I did on TBN Meets with Bishop Benjamin Dube. I said I'd bring that to you today. Just tweeted a little while ago. Loyiso Music, if you want to just follow what it is that I do all the time. And now and then I get the time to answer everyone. So stick with us here on the Open Book Cliff Central, and we'll be chatting about that. I've got a special guest later on.
Oh, the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
But the question is, took a long time, but I'm ready. I
just wanna be happy. Well, today I'm joined by Shalom Khandanisa. Khandanisa. How do you say it? Where's the accent exactly?
Khandanisa.
Bless you, brother. Bless you. That just shows that you're blessed right there. Khandanisa.
Khandanisa.
Yeah, so today I'm joined by Shalom Khandanisa from East London. And listen, and don't feel like out, you know, because in Joburg I'm also from that
yes,
side.
Yes, definitely. I feel so like I'm Loyiso, at home, actually.
I'm Loyiso from Uitenhage right now. And we're going to talk about identity. I really just kind of feel in my heart, and this is something that I've spoken about, you know, like at different conventions and churches, which is identity, especially as sort of South Africans. You know, like, and people like us, you know, we've lived with all sorts, you know, like we've been in the burbs, we've been in the townships, we've gone through different cultures. And I mean, like, you know, now being in Joburg, and it's people from all walks of life. Awesome. It's and people always say, yeah, but you need to know who you are. But the thing is, who are we? Do you know what I mean? Who would you say you are?
Well, I always laugh, actually, when this kind of topic comes up, because people tend to identify themselves through where they come from or through their surnames and their names and so forth. But really, I think if we take it down to who created us and formed us, I always like to just take it from there, and just take it from our very popular scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Yeah. So I really always just derive my identity as Shalom from there, where the person who created me and the person who formed me, that being God, who really just brought about my innermost being, I believe that our identity should start from there, because from how we are formed and created from within is what then comes and is depicted on the outside. And then our surnames and our names and where we are located is really just additions to the brand that is then formed or really put out there from how you're formed and created.
And that's good, you know, because the thing is, if your microwave is broken, you're not going to ask the microwave
what you must do, you know what I mean? Yeah, of course.
If you got a machine that getting delivered in your house that you didn't know what it does, you're not gonna get that answer from that machine. You're gonna have to ask the supplier, the person who actually made it. And so therefore, the only person who really truly knows who we are is God. Yeah.
And it works from the inside out, really. Just your example about the microwave or the washing machine. Most of the time when you're looking for the problem or looking to see where's this all coming from, you have to take it apart and start from with inside to see what is happening inside. Mm. And what happens inside actually plays a big role on what you see on the outside.
Yeah.
So I think, perfect example, when we see a young girl or young guy misbehaving, people would always be like, okay, so who's she from? Or what's her surname? Kumdana wapi? You know, type of thing. And it always go back to where you come from. And at the end of the day, people see you and they need to point out and be like, okay, I see she's a presenter or he's a presenter or he's a musician. But what is it about him that is so peculiar?
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes back to how you're formed, how you're created. We are a peculiar
nation. But then the question really is, because some of the times I'll look at a great singer and I'll be like, wow, I want to be like that person. And then I try to be what I see that, I try to be what that person is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that person is made up of certain building blocks.
Of course, that person.
So then the question is, what are you made of? Hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even about who you are. This is quite deep. But it's really about what are you made of? And then once again, it always points to to the creator. So I wanted to obviously just sort of bring this in. Especially because if you look at Facebook, at Twitter, you get those, at Instagram, you get those bios, you know? And some of the times, even when I go and speak somewhere, they always identify me by what my bio says, whether it's on Twitter or on Facebook. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That is what I do.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily
who I am.
Because I'm not made up of the things that I do. And let's bring it back to this, for the fact that who we are to God, do you know what I mean? Which is who we truly are, is not made up of what we've done, but everything about what Christ has done.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think it is about us going back to that, about the fact that our identity is not in ourselves, but our identity is in Christ. Because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave, nor free, nor is there male and female. In other words, your gender doesn't determine who you are.
Right.
You know, as the Bible says. And then it goes on to say, for you are all one, and here is our identity, in Christ. Our identity is one thing, and that is in Christ. So what defines us, once again, is not what we do or anything that we are. And you know what? And the Bible explains in Christ, the words in Christ come up 266 times in the New Testament, while the word Christian only probably appears 3 times. And
of course,
the times where it appears, it was not even Christians who identified themselves as Christians, because what we have and who we are is about what Christ has done.
Right.
So you are either in Christ. There's a verse, actually, I'm going to just try and find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, it says that we will be identified by one of these two. Either we are in Christ or we are in Adam. Because the Bible says that, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So you've got the first Adam, you've got the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the first man, you've got the second man. The first man, death came, and then by the second man, life came, which is Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So in Christ is life. In Adam is death. We are first born in Adam and we are born to die, but in Christ we are born to live. So that's why Jesus always says it is important that you become born again.
Right.
Because you are born first in Adam, but then you are born again in Christ.
In Christ.
And it's sad that, you know, It's sad that some people, they feel pretty comfortable, you know, with the first one.
Which is very sad. Yeah. And I think that's where we end up finding life so complicated, where for as long as we don't know our lives or our identity within Christ, then we'll never be able to catch the whole gist or really the reality of what Christianity is.
Yeah.
It being a lifestyle, a relationship, and not just that tag of, oh, I am a Christian. For as long as we remain in that comfort zone of just remaining in Adam and not in Christ.
Mm.
No, so absolutely. Identity is, it becomes so important. And I think so many people just, they lose it when we think it's about what we have, I don't know, for lack of a better word, yeah, what have we have achieved really, or what we have now, that should be, that should be that how we identify.
Or sometimes, like, or even like how good we are or how bad, you know, like, or how bad we are. You see, the thing is, when we are in Adam, we're prisoners of sin.
Yes.
In other words, you can do a good deed, but at the end of the day, you are still a prisoner of sin.
Of course.
When we're in Christ, we're prisoners of righteousness. So therefore, we can do bad things, but we are still righteous. Yeah. And I know it's unfair. You know, it sounds, I mean, like the whole grace message sounds just so unfair. Because it's kind of like, yeah, but I mean, but people should still suffer for the things that they did.
At the end of the day.
But the thing is, we were also born into sin. There's nothing that we could do. Mm. My little kid, you know, like, she's the most innocent child ever. And she too, you know, like, was born into sin. So if we were born into an unfair, I mean, like, if we inherited sin unfairly, then surely through Christ, we should inherit righteousness unfairly. You know,
I think it also goes back to how the whole, I don't know if I could say grace message, or how grace has really been preached or taught.
Yeah.
If that's the right way of putting it. But I believe that so many of us, we really haven't grasped the gist of what grace is, in all honesty. We just take it as, His grace is sufficient, so let's do this, and yes, there's grace, you know. Thank you for that grace. But we really don't understand how it starts and what it actually is, and how to incubate ourselves in that grace and getting that understanding of it being a relationship and not just a law or a command, really, that we just keep there, or we just talk about it without the understanding of it.
Yeah.
So
no, that's right. Because the thing is, you know, and Paul speaks about this, the fact that, like, once you've actually, once you've received grace, do you know what I mean? And we receive grace by faith, you know, it has been freely given,
yes,
but we have to receive it, you know, like, by faith.
Yes.
And that's what it is. It is freely available, but we have to receive it. And once you've received it, there's no ways that you can still live in sin.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
For as long as you choose to not.
So in other words, what we need to do, and probably for the rest of our lives, is to keep on understanding. And to keep on getting understanding on that grace. And the more we do that, the more we will sort of free ourselves, you know, like, of what it is. So I think, we don't have a lot of time, because I've got that interview that I'm going to play with Pastor Benjamin Dube, which you have to listen to, because it really is just so inspiring. It is really important that you start understanding who you are. And you know what? And you're going to walk proud through any situation. You won't feel condemned by anything that you've done. You'll wake up in the morning, because you know what? The Bible doesn't say if you fall, it says when you fall.
Yes.
You know, so when you fall and you get up, you'll be like, you know what, I'm righteous. And that will put you right in the place.
Sure.
You know, like, at least in your mind of where you were. Because some of the times it is our deeds that keep us back, that the devil just keeps on bringing condemnation towards us. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so that we stuck and we don't even fulfill the things that God, you know, that God has for us. None of us are perfect.
Amen. Never. And we never will be perfect.
No, we never will be perfect. We'll be on our way to perfection, you know, because, the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that, that our minds are, you know, we need to renew our minds. Yes. So which means that our minds are constantly being renewed. Mm. I believe that, well, it's the truth, you know, like, we are a three-part being.
Yes.
We are a spirit that lives in a body that possesses a soul, and that the change that God has done to us is, you know, it goes like this. Our spirits have already been changed, just like Christ, and that is what God sees. You know, our minds are being renewed, like the scripture says, and that this body is going to, and that this body and this flesh is going to eventually be renewed. So it's just as good as being renewed. So I want everyone to really just walk in the confidence of knowing that to God, man, it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
And all things become new.
And all things become new.
Amen.
Before I play that that podcast, I want to just give you guys a few verses that are going to encourage you. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, you are loved by God with an inseparable life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You may be feeling groggy, feeling like yesterday has still got you down. But you know what? In Christ, you are a new creation. So stay in Christ. We got some messages here, Shalom. I've never received so many messages actually before.
Oh, really?
On the open book. Anusha Swart says, good morning. I'm sure there is a reason I'm listening to the show today. Your guest today is speaking with such passion and conviction. My soul may be afflicted, but the Lord is real. Thank you for the time you guys take to reach out to people.
Amen.
Yeah, we love you, Anusha.
That's awesome.
And Milangalo says, I'm liking your guest today and your discussion. I think I'd like to listen to her program. What's the station and how can I tune in?
Oh, wow.
Mila from Cape Town. Well, she is on KNR. But you know what? We're going to be bringing Shalom back.
Thank you, Lord.
So keep listening to the open book. You know, hope the 2 months become 3 months, 4 months. And yeah, we'll definitely get you back. Yeah. Coming back to you. Shalom, thank you so much. But hopefully we'll still have a little bit of time afterwards. To just say goodbye and just to wrap up.
Looking forward to listening to Benjamin Dube's interview, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be absolutely awesome. So, guys, remember that your identity is in Christ. And what I love about this next song I'm going to play, just 2 seconds. It's by Chris Tomlin called Good, Good Father. It says, you are good, good father. It's who you are. And then it says, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. In other words, our identity is not in the fact that we love him, but it's in the fact that he loves us. Let's hear this and then my interview with Pastor Benjamin Dube after this.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it.
But I'm sure he's an inspiration to most of us, if not all of us, actually, in the music industry. He is Bishop Benjamin Dube, the legend. And he's a legend not just in gospel music, but in every sense of the word. I mean, his music has stood the test of time. It has gone around the globe and back several times over what may be, a 40-year period? But now here's the amazing thing, right? In all this time, while some of us are looking older, he keeps looking younger and younger. I mean, check this out. Look at him. We like kind of look the same age.
Come on, man.
Bishop, very welcome to TVN Meets.
Thank you, Loyiso. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
You know what? Okay, cool. So before we begin, you've got to let me know, okay? Yeah. What is the secret to your youthfulness?
Well, to start with, I think one has to say to really take good care of the temple.
Yeah.
That you are in, you know, eating well, And at the same time, I go to the gym, you know, you know, I discovered that too much of a thing will actually cause you some trouble.
Amen.
You know, I don't always, you know, eat a lot of one thing. And I discovered, of course, that it is important that one does what he loves, you know, and which in my case, you know, music is something that really God has blessed me with. And to be on stage has to keep you, you know, up. You know, and going and active and at the same time. And I think one other thing is just to stay young at heart.
Amen.
You know? And then not really try and think of your age. You just think of exactly what the Lord has done for you and trust and depend on Him.
And I guess really, like, you know, having a purpose also kind of keeps you young. It keeps you up every single morning.
Exactly.
Telling you that you have to be somewhere, and that kind of keeps you young instead of thinking, this is me, this is how I'm feeling right now. Yeah.
Well, I think the very issue of loving what you're doing and doing what you love.
Yeah.
You know, is one other thing that actually makes you upbeat about life, and you keep going, you keep pressing on. And at the same time, you know, it's one other thing I discovered is that, you know, sometimes pride can make you act older, you know. You know, when you're proud.
But true, and that's quite an African thing. Angam dala.
Yes, exactly. And that, you know.
Do you know what I mean?
But if you always keep humble and you are accessible and you're able to you know, communicate with people even at a lower level, you know, and you know, there's that, you know, something that attracts other people, and you keep going, you keep going and people keep wanting you,
I guess also, you know, I guess also, like, your ministry will just go so much further, and it will reach so much further into people's hearts if you humble yourself. Because I know that having a 3-year-old, you know, if I'm shouting at my daughter from far, she won't hear me, but I literally need to come down to her level and speak to her.
True.
You know,
true.
And suddenly things go in.
Very true.
So I guess kind of the same. It's a long explanation, but
it kind of makes sense, though. Yeah. It makes sense.
Now, you know what? The first time I actually ever met you, actually ever saw you performing, was at Pastor Mtunzi Namba's wedding. And that was like back in what? In like 1992. But I've got to tell you, you were happening as much then as you are happening now, you know? As some people would probably say that they've only just known you for like 3 years, but we know you've been around for, you know, for that long. So what is that secret? You know what I mean? Like to longevity in the business.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've just said right now, it's loving what you're doing, you know, and always partnering with God, you know, always bringing God into the picture. The Bible says, acknowledge the Lord your God in all your ways.
Amen.
And He will prosper you, you know. And I think my prayer was that I would be, you know, used of God and become a bridge even for other people to come, or let me say, to get to their God-ordained destinies, you know. My being around for too long, it's just learning even from other people, those that are coming even after me. And I don't run with the fact that I've been there for too long. And I always learn from those that are coming in who are new. And, I mean, I learn even from my boys, you know. And they would actually say, Dad, this is what is happening now. This is the current, you know, setup in the industry, and because they just came in now, and then, you know, even technology and all
Absolutely.
Those things, you actually align yourself with what is happening at the moment, and for you to be effective in the time that you're living in, and that's one other thing that has helped me. But over and above my relationship with God, you know, the more you get closer to God, is the more you realize that you don't know Him. and you desire to know him, you know, and that's my situation. Every time worshiping God, I don't worship God from an experience point of view. I worship God because I want to experience him at this time.
Yeah.
You know, not to say I've experienced him before, and I want to hear him. I want to experience him. I want to the manifestation of God now is what matters to me. I don't want to be ahead of God. I don't want even to be far behind God. Mm. I really pray at all times and saying, Lord, please, a step with you, and because I know I will be relevant. And effective in my ministry, you know, that has helped me to be on the ground. Yeah. And then there's a song that says, "Humble yourself by the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Mm. You know, that's one other scripture that helps me. And I wrote a song that says, "The way up is the way down, and Amen. The way forward is the way back." And then you cannot tell me you know where you're going when you don't know where you're from. Amen. You know, and so it's things like that, you know, that has helped me stay and
stay the course of time.
Yes, the course.
But I love
of
what
time.
You're saying. You know, like for the fact that even of all these years that you've been, you know, that you've been a worshiper, someone would be like, ah, you know what, you know, Benjamin Dube knows it all. You know, if I can just have a few words with him, I'll know exactly what to do. And I love the fact that you have said that you yourself, you are dependent on God on every single time that you go up there.
Exactly.
And I guess, you know, as much as the world system teaches us to be independent, but within the kingdom, we need to learn to be dependent.
Oh,
and
certainly.
But obviously, it's also about our source of independence, which is, I mean, like, which is God.
Yeah, and I think God knows exactly what is needed at the time he gives you. You know, I believe in the fact that God will never give you a gift without giving you a chance and the time to use the gift.
Amen.
It is a package. When God has gifted you, he makes sure that for that gift, there is a stage, there is a time, there is a season, and for you to actually perform and do what he has assigned you to do. Mm. And it's so important for you to align yourself with him, because he knows what is needed at that time. And especially with us as performers and worshipers, you need to make sure that you align yourself, because God knows the need in the place at that time.
Yeah.
And he will navigate you, and so that you may be able to meet the need, because he wants to meet the need through you.
Amen.
You see, at that time.
Yeah.
And so we are human. Sometimes we may not know things that are deeper, but when you run with God and you partner with God and you're led of the Spirit of the Lord, he's able to navigate you for you to be able to meet that need that is actually there in the place. And I think there's so many people that actually run with God, but how can I put it? They run with who God is, but they don't know, they don't have that intimacy with God.
That place in God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the same as, you know, I guess the same as people seeing you singing. They're like, oh, I can sing, so therefore I should be doing what, you know, like what Bishop Benjamin is doing. But there needs to be, I guess there also needs to be a calling.
Yes.
Upon your, you know, upon your life.
Yes.
Now, apart from just the music, but you've also had a calling.
Yeah.
And you've got a calling to be a pastor.
Yes, sir.
To be a bishop. When did that moment, that actual moment, arrive?
Oh, Lisa, if I can tell you, for about, what is it, 7 years, I've been running away from this thing. Before I gave in.
Wow.
Before I gave in. I, you know, and God shut me down. Because, you know, we grew up with Michael Jackson.
You know.
And I always wanted to be like, I want to be like Michael Jackson. I had a perm then. Very greasy. You know? So, and I want to be like that. And later on, God said, you are not that. You are not an entertainer. You are not what you're trying to be. And I said, but what do you mean? And then I was saved by then. And God then began to say, you are my servant.
Wow.
I want to reveal myself through you. And I'm just cutting the long story short.
And when was that? I mean, like, when
it was in 1992.
Wow.
92. That's when it was so heavy in my spirit. And wow. I remember for 3 years, I never had performances, no invites, no recording contract. And the companies were like saying, no, Benjamin Dube is like American.
Because you were doing, like, were you doing secular stuff? But you were doing secular stuff before that, before you found the calling to come into gospel.
I started with a family. And so I met Chico.
Yes.
And the Don Lagas.
Yes.
And
yes.
all that. And they had a group. And they called me in to come and do leads for them.
Wow.
So, and we did You've Got to Be My Girl. And
All the kind of stuff. Remember, I come from that
background. Right.
Thank God I never had 3 years of no work. I was like, okay, now? You want it now? All right, cool, let's do it.
No,
and it's lovely. I mean, like, it's awesome stuff to do.
You know, when you know you're coming from that, era, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden God actually pulls you out. And he says, "You that was not what I destined you for." And I then gave in after 3 years of nothing. God was just saying, I am dealing with you because I know your future and your greatness in what I'm calling you into.
And I'm sure at that time you probably hadn't seen anybody else who was successful in the gospel industry.
No one.
Not as big as Michael Jackson.
Not as big. Okay. But let me just say this. Yeah. What I'm seeing God doing in my life now, it's almost like, Lord, I didn't see it then.
Amen.
But look at it now. It's actually practically. I see your grace, I see your favor, I see the blessings of the Lord, and I see, God really using me as a reference, even for other people, that if God was able or is able to do it with Pastor Benjamin, I can actually be confident that what I'm doing is working, or it will work for me, you know. And in the same way God did with even with the children of Israel. And God said, because of your fathers, I will bless you. You
Amen.
Know. And I believe that that's what God is actually doing with me. And many people who are actually saying, really, I need to be very close to this man of God, and I want to tap into the anointing. It's not that it came easy.
And they need to know that. People need to know that.
Exactly.
You can't be Benjamin Dube in 3-4 years. You
and lay hands on them and then they've got it.
Yeah.
No, there are some experiences and that I had to go through. Mm-hmm. And the very issue that I'm talking about, and God really dealing with me, and I already had a name then.
Yeah.
And God for 3 years had to shut me down and said, this name is the one that will stand in my way.
Wow.
I need you to know that I am doing something in your life, and it's me. It's not your name. It's not you. And when I gave in to God into the ministry of preaching, that's when I realized that, you don't only sing about it, but you talk about it.
And you live it.
And you live
and
it.
And you have to live it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Bishop Benjamin, one thing that I know is that mentoring is a huge part of your life. You know, you've been doing this for many years when you were still young. And I've also noticed that you haven't just mentored artists just in the gospel space, I guess, because of your background of where you come from. But I mean, you've mentored guys that have really gone on to do well also in the secular.
Yes.
In the secular market.
Yes.
Because you've got an experience in that, I guess, after hearing your story.
Yeah.
What sort of legacy do you want to leave behind? And what leads you to just keep on doing this for young people?
It's amazing you're talking about legacy, because one cannot be a legend unless you leave a legacy behind. Mm. To start with, I've been looking into my home, you know, my children, my boys, yeah. You know, really to usher them into, you know, the center stage, you know, where everything is happening and doing what they love. But more so to guide them and warn them of landmines in the in the industry. You know,
that you probably stepped in.
Yeah, exactly. But I survived.
Yeah.
And so, and the same thing, even when coming to the gospel industry, you know, there's quite a number of artists like Gloria Bosman.
Yeah.
And when she started, you know, in the gospel, I was there, you know. And when coming to Judith Sipuma, Sipogazi and quite a number of them.
I think Zama Job at one point
Zama,
was also with you.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. Zama was in my church.
In your church?
Know? Yeah.
I think just before she actually
really
just sort of made it big.
Yes. So one, it still actually keeps ties with all these people speaking, you know, over their lives and guiding them and advising them, you know. When you have, you know, the experience that I have from the secular into the gospel, and having the relationship with God, you know, then you're able to kind of like give a clear picture of what works here, what doesn't work here, you know, because of the experience, number one, and number two, knowing what God is expecting from the Christian point of view or from the kingdom point of view, mm-hmm. you know, and so I think even my experiences, you know, have helped a lot, you know, so that I would make them aware. And I don't only talk about the fact that you mustn't do this because the Word of God says this and that, but I tell them this is what I did and this is what it led me to, and therefore be careful of this, be careful of that.
I think that's so awesome because many, you know, and I'm going to say men of God out there,
mm-hmm.
When we meet them, we think that, wow, they are just, you know, they're just the most perfect people in the world. And for some of us, we're like, there's no ways that we'll be able to reach, you know, that point. So they ought to just remain not, they become less people and they sort of become more statues.
True.
You know?
True.
And
true.
And I love what you're doing. I mean, for the fact that you tell them what it is that you did and where you went wrong and what were the consequences.
Yes.
So therefore don't.
Yes.
And I think that's just a wonderful, message, you know, like to everyone.
I think the best testimony, mm-hmm. or let me put it this way, the best sermon is the testimony.
Yeah.
The best sermon is your testimony, because when you tell of what you have been through, it becomes mm-hmm. more effective to those that are listening and who have been watching you, you know, and which is what I use. Always use my testimony, and I use what I've been through, you know, and I show my scars to them, you know, not the scars that are still bleeding, but scars that have healed, you know, because...
You want to freak them out
No. You see, you have to wait when somebody is still bleeding, wait up until he heals.
And then let it be a testimony.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
What you've been through and how God has brought you through it. Don't come up there and tell us.
No. So that's exactly what I really believe in.
Yeah. I want to talk about worship.
Okay.
You know, you do a great job of it. I believe that there are many singers out there, but there's just something about when you're on stage and the anointing that is just upon you.
Oh.
So I personally want the secrets today.
Okay.
Well, how do you define worship?
Well, worship is actually not even just singing. I think you know that. Worship is a lifestyle. When somebody is a worshiper, is somebody who lives on his knees.
Mm.
Is somebody who's always how can I say, living a life of an obedient person.
Mm.
It, because worship is laying yourself down and saying, not my will, but your will, oh God, be done.
Amen.
You know, and you always have to be prostrate. Your life has to be prostrate. In other words, bowed down and obedient, or obedient to the will of God. And I'm trying to look for the right word for it. But it's almost like you have to always give up your will for the will of the one that you eulogizing or you love, you adore, you know. And when I'm on stage, I always depend on the leading of the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are notes that I know if I was not led of the Spirit, I would not actually sound.
Yeah.
I would not bring them out.
Yeah.
And I would not do, I mean, I get to some places that I know I would not have done or I would not have gone to if it wasn't of what the Spirit has prompted in my heart at that time. So worship for me is a lifestyle. Worship for me is like saying, Lord, I give in to you. Use me.
So everybody can actually worship. It's not just up to singers to worship.
No.
But it's everyone, you know?
Everybody, because you can actually, if you can't sing it, you can speak it.
Amen.
Lord, you are great. Your name is above every name. And you are Yahweh, you are El Shaddai, you are Elohim. You are everything that I need you to be.
Yeah.
And at the same time, your life, before you get on stage, you must have worshipped before. Not worship as in worship. Your life must have worshipped.
Must be of worship. Don't be like, oh, I'm about to get on stage in the next 2 hours, so let me just worship quickly.
No, your life already must be an obedient life to the will of God.
Amen.
And saying, Lord, you know, without you, it's not worth a living.
I can't, yeah.
It's not worth a living.
And you know, and everything that I, every single morning, I just make a mental note. Yes. I know that it's not the things that we do, you know, that bring us closer to God, but it's the blood of Christ. But every morning, I make a mental note just to surrender.
Yes.
So say, Lord, I surrender as much as I have plans for today. And I think those plans are yours, because sometimes we're not exactly sure. You know? It shows us a little bit later. I'm like, I think these plans, you know, like these plans are yours. But I surrender to you so that if you have to change the direction, you know what I mean?
That's it.
And then let it be.
That's it.
And then let it be so.
That is exactly what worship is all about.
And then God always takes you the long way. The long route around, you're like, nah.
Yeah. But you see, one thing that I love with God is that wherever He leads you, there is safety.
Amen. Amen. We could have gone over something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wherever He takes you to, He knows you will be safe.
Yeah. We've just got a few minutes left, and I've got two questions for you. So
all right.
I think how many albums now? 16, 17 solo
albums?
It's
about 15.
About 15?
15.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, what's the future like? What should we look out for that's going to be coming from you?
Awesome things are ahead. Well, to start with, I'm so excited because in 2017, I'll be doing the next In His Presence.
Yeah, man.
And featuring Vashon Mitchell.
Wow.
You know, and of course, I'll be featuring the someone in South Africa local that I wouldn't want.
I am. You know, this is going to go live in tips. Some of us are busy recording it right now. So,
it's going to be awesome.
Wow.
And I'm looking forward to this. And of course, we've got even the project Spirit of Praise.
Spirit of Praise.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And that we're going to be doing, it's kind of like a collage of artists so that I'm doing production and of course, my boys are doing...
They're busy doing something right now.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
The Dube Brothers.
The Dube Brothers.
If you ever met these guys, go on YouTube. They've got an awesome video. and they travel with you a lot as well.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that is
they
just
do.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Before you leave us, I'm going to have you back again. I wanted to just give just our viewers a word of encouragement at this time. Anything that you feel is in your heart.
Well, what I can give is Ecclesiastes, where the Bible actually talks about time and chance is given to all men.
Yeah.
You know, it is not only about Benjamin. It's not about Loiso, who is already before you and is doing what he's doing. But God has given each and every one of us. The race is not to the swift, and even the battle is not to the strong. Everybody has been given the time and to showcase what God has given them. And don't think that because your time is not yet, you will never get the chance. Prepare yourself. Because opportunity doesn't wait for people that are not ready. You have to be ready so that when opportunity comes, then you can seize it and God will bless you.
Amen.
What a wonderful interview there with Bishop Benjamin.
Indeed.
Dube. Just a man of just such wisdom, man.
Yes. And so genuine, and so he's just so real, and really he just unpacks the heart of God, just where he is, how he is, and it's been a journey.
Absolutely, and really, very much like you, Shalom. Thank you so much to all of you for tuning into the Open Book this week. It's been just a wonderful, time of,
it's been awesome.
Of just chatting, and hopefully we're gonna have you back again.
I wouldn't
next
mind coming
week,
back.
Everybody
again.
Loves you. And so it seems. So tell us, I mean, like, just quickly, your show is on. Is
my
on
show,
KNR.
It's on KNR, which is Keith and Gacy Radio, and it's called Properly Proper Moments. I'm off online, I'll put it that way, because it's an online radio station.
Yeah.
So I'm off at the moment because I'm in Joburg at the moment. So we'll be back soon. So you can find us on www.keithandgacyradio.com. And shout out to the team there and to the legend himself, Mr. Keith Ngesi.
Yeah. My good friend. Well, you're here on Loiso Bala Radio. LVR. But it's been really, really wonderful and awesome.
And
thank you so much for really just like all your support. My album, Kingdom Come, has gone up on pre-order.
And it's sounding epic.
Yeah,
I was listening
we had a pre-listen, and hopefully next week I can actually give you guys a bit of a taste of that.
Yeah.
And sort of what's going to be coming up on it. So go onto iTunes, Kingdom Come. Just press Loiso, Kingdom Come. And it should definitely come up, and you'll get a preview of some songs as of tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I think we're playing something just under this.
Awesome.
Can
Thank you
just
so
bring
much
it
for
up
having me.
Yeah, cool. We'll see you next week. But listen to just a little bit of this. This is something that actually is kind of on the album. And tomorrow, guess who I'm talking to on TBN Meets? 6:30, TBN in Africa, Channel 343.
Oh, no word.
It's the one and only Creflo Dollar.
The legend.
So Creflo Dollar tomorrow. And then go into iTunes. And get a Kingdom Come. Love you guys and goodbye.
This is CliffCentral.com.